Keeping with a couple of the prayers in the prayer room and him given out, and again our brother Doug's prayer in the assembly meeting, and come thou fount of every blessing, the source of every blessing, and one of the brothers prayed in the prayer meeting that there might be something that we could grow by, and another brother prayed that no blessing can come from us. And it's what I have on my heart. In chapter 8 of Mark, you have the healing of a blind man. And what precedes that healing is the Lord feeding the multitude. I think it was 4,000. And in verse 5 it says, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And then he commands them to sit down. And then it says in verse 7, they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. Well, obviously in this miracle, the disciples did not have sufficient in themselves to feed this multitude. And it's always so. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It isn't in this assembly. It's not in the one speaking. Our sufficiency is in Christ. We as believers gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have a very, very rare privilege. And that is the Lord Jesus is in our midst collectively. And he is the source of every blessing. Well, after this miracle, the religious leaders of the day, and they come in verse 11, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Here he had given them this sign of feeding the multitude on 2 occasions. They ignore it and they say, give us a sign. They were blind. Truly blind men. They could not see the signs that had been given them, and they rejected the Lord. Consequently. Now, the Lord says to the disciples, in verse 14 it says, now the disciples have forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Here the disciples know that we don't have the means to take care of ourselves. The Lord says to them, verse 15, he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They didn't understand what the Lord was warning them about, this leaven that the Lord was warning them about. The Pharisees, they prized man, and Herod prized man. And their movements were for the favor and for the purpose of gaining man's favor. And the disciples didn't understand that. But the Lord tells them, beware of that kind of leaven. That kind of leaven. And they think it's because they didn't take any bread. And so now something happens. It says, verse 17, Jesus knew it, and he saith unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? See, they were looking at themselves, and they concluded, we don't have sufficiency of ourselves to take care of ourselves. And that must be what the Lord is talking about. Brethren, the Lord isn't looking to us, to me, or to you, to take care of his disciples. The sufficiency is not in ourselves. But now this miracle comes in verse 22. And this miracle no doubt portrays a little picture of this leaven and how it works in our lives. It will totally blind us if we move simply for the sake of men. We have men's persons before us. It leaves us in this condition of blindness. Now the disciples were not totally blind, but this man does picture the disciples. He cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why did he do that? Well, no doubt this blind man was one of the many blind men, and his occupation was that of the other blind ones. That is, they sat by the wayside begging, depending upon men to meet their needs, hoping to beg their sustenance and their livelihood from men. And the Lord takes him away from all hope of that. A beggar would never sit down out in the wilderness or in the country to beg because man wouldn't be there. So he takes this man away from what men had builded. He leads him out of the village, and then from himself, from his own person, he gives this man sight. I refer to his spitting. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now he pictures the disciples. What does it mean, I see men as trees? I don't think it means that to him men look like trees, but I think it means to him he saw man out of proportion. Now that's what's on my heart. The trees in Scripture are those largest things in nature that have life, the largest living thing in nature. Nothing exceeds the stature of a tree. And this man, he sees men as trees. They are out of proportion to his view. Now, can we be leavened in that way? We can be leavened. And we have to, we can't stay in this condition of looking at each other and seeing each other as trees. That is out of proportion. More than God looks at us as. Seeing more than what God sees in us. The sufficiency for this man who had been given his sight by what came from Christ was Christ, not men. When the multitude was fed, though the disciples had a few fishes and a few small loaves, the sufficiency for meeting the needs of those who were following Christ were to come from Christ himself. Now, what about you tonight? Wherever you are in your life, your state of soul, your stature as a believer depends on whether you've been looking at men as trees and expecting from them more than you ought to expect, or whether you've seen Christ as your sufficiency. And this assembly's prosperity depends upon seeing Christ in the midst as we're gathered to his name. If you see Henry, you see Doug, you see Brother Irvin, or Brian, or Rick, or whoever, you're going to be very stunted in your vision. You're going to be stunted in your growth because you're looking to them as trees, and you're expecting to draw from them more than God expects you to think of them as. And so the Lord leads this man on, and it says in verse 24, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell it to any in the town. Here now he sees clearly. I remember reading when I was a young man in some ministry, I think it was probably Mr. McIntosh's. And while I can't quote it, I think I can give you the concept of the thought. It was this, whoever this brother was, he said, the brother who can live alone with God and doesn't feel he has to have a great gift in the assembly or needs to be sustained by capable brothers. The brother who can live alone with God and grow with Christ will most value those gifted men when they come and will most profit by them. That is, the Lord wants us to use one another. He wants us to see one another and benefit from one another. And I would be the last one here to say we do not need each other, because we do. But we only need each other as God intended us to. And that is not the source of our blessing. Christ is the source of our blessing. So we don't want to look at one another as trees. You may say, oh, I don't. I look at my brethren, they're very little in my eyes, They don't have any gifts. They don't have anything to offer me. You're looking at your brethren as trees. You're not looking at them as God intends you to look at them. You're still looking at them and you're saying, woe is me. Our assembly is not much here. Is Christ here? If Christ is here and I only have a few small fishes and another brother has only a few loaves, that's sufficient to meet your need. And not only in our assembly, but in our whole lives. We can't look around us and say, things are just too big for me. I cannot grow in my soul. The pressures, the obstacles are too great. The assembly, there's nothing there. And in my personal life, the obstacles are too great. Now, what I have on my heart, what made me think of this portion is where I was reading this week in the book of Joshua. And let's turn back where there were those who wanted to expand their spiritual inheritance. They wanted to grow, and they wanted to take possession. I think it's chapter 17 of Joshua. In verse 14, we have Joseph's boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, before us here. And the children of Joseph, Joshua chapter 17, verse 14, the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? He said, you haven't given us enough. We want to grow. We want to expand. It wasn't a bad exercise these boys had to expand their inheritance. They wanted something more than what they had been given. And Joshua doesn't fault them for that. Joshua says in verse 15, Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Here it is. Get up and cut down the trees. Do you want to grow? Get up into the hill country and cut those trees down. Go ahead and expand. What is hindering our soul's prosperity tonight? What is hindering your spiritual development tonight? It is a man. It's a man. It may be me, because you're looking at me as something in a way you shouldn't be looking at me, or it may be yourself. You are thinking higher of yourself than you ought to think. So Joshua says, go and cut down the trees. Cut down the wood. Verse 16, the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Now they say, even if we cut down the trees, this wouldn't still be big enough. And those in the valley, they have chariots of iron. Don't you see the picture here? So what? What is a chariot of iron? Well, it was what these men used for warfare. Joshua says, you're looking at these men, and they're too big in your eyes. You're looking at the wrong thing. And can we not grasp this, brethren? The obstacle and hindrance to our spiritual growth is because we don't know the Lord in His sufficiency. There's not one of us sitting here tonight, and nor am I here tonight, that can point a finger at any man or any woman and say they are a hindrance to my spiritual development. Cut the woods down. What does the chariots, what do they speak of? Those things that men have made that are in the world to oppose your prosperity, your taking God's possessions that God has for you. The Lord has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, but we have no enjoyment of them as long as we allow trees, men as trees, and chariots of iron. So what's Joshua say to them? Verse 17, Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Don't you see the answer? Thou art a great people, and hast great power. And brethren, you know Philadelphia, those believers at Philadelphia, few in number, thou hast a little power. They had power, and you and I have power from God to overcome any obstacle that comes into our life. It doesn't matter where that obstacle comes from. If we want to be earnest with our Lord and get our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus as the source of our blessing and our strength, we can overcome. Whether it's a chariot of iron or men as trees, we can cut the trees down and we have greater power than these chariots of iron represent. But the secret, brethren, the secret in our spiritual life and our spiritual blessing rests in seeing one another as we ought to see one another, simply as men, and not the source of our blessings, and seeing Christ as sufficient to give us power to overcome any obstacle in our life. And you know, it's extremely personal. We are just sure the hindrances in our life come outside of ourselves. And they do, in a way. But the only reason they're hindrances is because I personally, do not lay hold of the sufficiency that is in Christ Jesus. And if I will just turn my little fishes over to Him, or my little loaves of bread over to Him, there will be not only enough to satisfy my soul, but we will contribute to the assembly and the prosperity of the Lord's disciples. And we can go away filled, not because of what we are, but because of the sufficiency of Christ. Well, may He help us to identify in each of our lives individually. I have a good idea, you know, personally, as you sit there, what it is that's a chariot of iron to you, and what it is that looks like a tree, and what you think in your life is hindering you from growing spiritually. I would just encourage you, as Joshua old, you have great power, because that great power is Christ. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And what we really lack is simple, single eye that sees Christ as that sufficient one and sees one another as not more than what we really are. We are just men.